This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, and welcome back to Reboot Your Thoughts. We're now on double figures, which is amazing. And we're getting more and more of you watching and listening, should I say, sorry. So I thank you all for that. Absolutely love doing this podcast. And I know that sometimes I do it on my own, so you're left with my dulcet tones, but we are going to have more and more guests over the coming months. There's a few people asked to come on. There's a few people I've invited to come on, so that's quite exciting. I know Kate that was on last week. I hope you've all listened to that episode. She absolutely loved it, and she loved it that much that she's now bringing out her own podcast, which is fantastic. I love that. I think she'd been thinking about it for a while, and that just gave her the final wee push that she needed, that she enjoyed it so much that she's gone and done her own one now. So good luck to her and her lovely wife. They're both doing it together. I think they're doing it on YouTube. I'm not sure where else it's going to be, but I'll find a link and get that in for you, because at the minute I can't actually remember the name of it, but I know she's going to be talking about a few different things. I don't think it's like mainly mental health and everything that comes with it. I think she's just going to be a whole spectrum of different life events. I think I'm sure she'll have a lot of funny stuff in there, because she's a hilarious girl. We catch up on the last week or so. It's been birthdays galore here. Everybody's birthday seems to be July, August. My son's birthday. Then I had a birthday. We'll not talk about ages. But apart from that, there's not an awful lot going on. Just trying to plod along, work, research, and keep in touch with everybody in at the same time. So, this week's episode is actually going to be a multi-episode. It's quite a huge topic, and it affects a lot of people and of every age range. Trolling, bullying, scamming, and stalking, and anything else that comes along with it, because I'm sure as I do my research, which I've started doing already, I'll find other topics that will come hand in hand with it that I've maybe either forgotten about or haven't even heard of yet. So obviously with the schools due to go back in Scotland in the next week or two, and then in England they'll go back in a couple of weeks after that. I think it's September. I'm not sure if it's early September. It's quite a good topic to kind of put out there and remind people of. It's good to keep talking to your children about bullying and being bullied or being the bully. This isn't going to be a sort of all on the bully's case type thing. I would love to hear from anybody who has experienced bullying, trolling, scamming, stalking, anything related to any of these topics. But I would also quite like to hear from anybody who has been the bully, the troll, the scammer, the stalker, etc. And this isn't going to be about a debate. It's not going to be an argument or blame game. It's genuinely, would love to hear what took you to do that. What made you, I suppose, decide one day that you were going to target a certain individual or individuals? Was it because you thought it was funny? Were you bullied in the past or trolled in the past? Was there something going on in your life at the time that took your mind away from it? And regardless of whether you're telling your story as the bully or being bullied, etc., everything will be confidential. We won't be giving out any names, any details, because we don't want to then inflict any kind of harm or threats or whatever, bullying again, onto anybody else. We don't want to send anybody in that person's direction. So you can either come on and speak in confidence, or you could write in with your story. Either way, everything will be confidential. There'll be no photographs, no names, no ages, nothing. But if you do want to get in touch, you can do it through any of the social media pages. So you've got Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. And if you just search up Reboot Your Thoughts Podcast on any of those sites, or you could email into rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. And I will get back to you as soon as possible. So let's get started. While I was doing my research, actually there was quite a lot that came out that I was unsure of. I maybe thought I knew bits and pieces, but maybe didn't know as everything. There was also some things that came out that I didn't know anything at all about. Always a bit unsure. So when I first started googling statistics about online bullying, the answers that I kind of got were, according to a 2020 Office of National Statistics, find it hard to say that word, study, 19.1% of children aged 10 to 15 experienced online bullying in the last year. This includes being called names, sworn at, insults, or receiving nasty messages. So when we think of bullying, I think everybody just jumps on it and think, oh, teenagers or a child that's done wrong, whatever, a naughty child. It's not always the case. Sometimes it's a cry for help. But we're talking about online bullying in this particular statistic, and it mentioned 10 to 15 year olds had experienced online bullying. Obviously, when you think about online bullying, you might think social media, and that might be through commenting on a post or sending a message, a private message, direct message. But online bullying can also be through their gaming. So if they've got an Xbox, a PlayStation, things like that, it could be somebody that they're gaming with, somebody that they're talking to in their chats, and they maybe think they're a friend, but they're not. And they maybe think this is a joke, but the other person's maybe been a bit serious. So it's just something to keep an eye on, and we'll get into that in a bit more depth in a bit. So also showed up that 72% of children who experienced online bullying said it happened at school or during school time. So this could be somebody that they know. It could be somebody they don't know within the school. It might be somebody out with the school who they've come in contact with. Obviously, we're talking about online bullying again, and most, if not all, children at school, especially teenage age, tend to have mobile phones, which means they're easily accessible. You can get them through phone calls, text message, WhatsApp, And again, through any of their social media pages, if you've got the details, keeping an eye on your children's social media and potentially their phones. It's not that you're invading their privacy, it's that you're trying to protect them. So as long as you've got trust within that relationship from parent to child, grandparent to child, aunt, uncle, guardian to child, then there shouldn't be an issue, and you will be able to tell by their reactions normally if there's something a bit upsetting or something they don't want you to see. And it's not always about bullying either. They might just have a private message, and that's okay. Say to them, if there's anything you don't want me to see that's private, then I won't look at that. But just be mindful that they also have a right to privacy. So more than half, and it came up as 52% of children who experienced online bullying didn't describe it as bullying, and 26% didn't tell anyone. Now, 52% not realising it's bullying is actually quite scary, because how many children then are being bullied that we don't know about, that they're not telling anybody because they maybe think, oh, this person's my friend, so they wouldn't do anything bad to me. They maybe just kind of brush it off as banter because they maybe see certain things on TV. But if it's hurting their feelings, then, or if it's making them feel a certain way, we need to kind of get on top of it. And then the 26% didn't tell anyone at all. So even though there was 26% did tell people, it doesn't mean they've told an adult, and it doesn't mean they've told anyone that can actually do something about it. But then the 26% that did tell someone, we need to make sure they're telling the right people and that it's being dealt with. We also need to, when we're talking to the bully or the troll, we need to let them know what they're doing, because not everybody realises that they're bullying. Some people think, again, that it's banter. Some people think that because you're doing it over a phone or over a computer and you're not doing it to somebody's face, then it doesn't matter. That's not the case. Cyberbullying can have long-term effects, including feelings of shame, resentment, and anger. And these, when you look a bit deeper into this, so the feeling of shame can be that they're ashamed that they didn't stick up for themselves, or depending on what's been said about them, it could be they're ashamed of what's been said. Maybe it's not true, maybe it is true. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't be throwing anything in anybody's face. And then feeling of resentment. So sometimes when people are pushed so far and so deep into they won't talk to anybody, they start blaming themselves for bullying, for being bullied, sorry. They start blaming themselves for being bullied. They will resent the fact that they're allowing this to happen. They will resent the fact that they are the type of person that they are, where they've got to a point they're being bullied. As you can see, I'm trying to choose my words. I'm trying to be careful of how I say it, because obviously we don't know who's listening to this, and we just want to protect everybody's mental health. Some people also will then have a point, get to a point where they might even resent being born, being here. And that's the concerning part, because we don't know how they will then progress forward. So we need to look out for each other, regardless of what age. Obviously, this is all about, these statistics that I'm seeing just now are about children, but as we know, bullying can happen to anybody. Trolling, stalking, scamming can happen to anybody. And then this next statistic proves that. So in the workplace, cyberbullying is estimated to cost £2 billion per year in litigation costs, investigations and remedies. So obviously the investigations, you would hope, would be an outsider. It's not always. Sometimes it is just somebody from maybe a different team or a different department, different building, that might come in. to investigate. It will depend on how severe the severity of the bullying, the cyberbullying, how in-depth they need to go with their investigations. And then the remedies could be how to block cyberbullying as a starter, how to, they maybe need to get new software, these different things, but also they may have to get some kind of mental health wellness plan put in place for staff members that maybe have been cyberbullied, depending again on the severity of it. So overall, 36% of respondents said that they had been trolled, and a third reported being victims of cyberstalking. Additionally, almost a fifth of those asked reported having experienced doxing. And this was in the UK, and it was a study about harassment experienced online in 2022. So if you don't know what doxing is a form of online harassment that involves exposing someone's personal information without their consent on social media or other public platforms or forums. The goal is to humiliate, bully or harm the victim. Doxing can include sharing information such as real name, address, job, phone number, email address, photos and information about family members. Now you might think that how can you share somebody's real name in public? There will be many people, especially on social media, who haven't used their real name on social media, and it could be due to an incident in the past. Maybe they've fled domestic violence, or it could be someone who has transitioned from male to female, female to male.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
There's many reasons this could happen, and no one has the right to put information out that you've not put out yourself. Giving out someone's address is very dangerous because you don't know whose hands you're putting that address into. You don't know what they could do. They could be violent. They could start stalking them. If it's an adult that you've given the details out about, how do you know that if someone was to turn up at their address with violence in mind, what if a child answers the door and that doesn't stop the person? Not to say that they should be violent to the person who they were initially going to see, but we have to be mindful that you don't know what you're doing by giving out this information. Giving out their job details, like, that could have huge effects, because if your employer hears any fake stories about yourself or misinformation, that could have consequences where the person may lose their job. Phone number, email address, again, that could all end up being more bullying, more cyberbullying, stalking, things like that. And then obviously photos. It could be private photos, it could be photos that they don't want anybody to see. And then information about family members, again, that's giving out somebody's information without their consent. The only people who can give out your information is you, unless you give permission otherwise. An estimated 1,544,000 children aged 10 to 15 years, so 34.9%, experienced an in-person bullying behaviour and 847,000, which was 19.1%, experienced an online bullying behaviour in the year ending March 2020. There was no significant difference compared with the year ending March 2023, which means we've basically done nothing in that time to try and eradicate this. If you've ever experienced bullying, you'll know how hurtful it is. You'll know how much of your time it consumes. You think about this every day. When I was a child, I'm sure there's a song in there somewhere, and if you noticed, I didn't give away my age at the beginning of the episode, and I'm still not giving away my age, but it was a long time ago when I was a child. We didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have computers. We maybe had gaming consoles, but they were nothing like the ones you get today. We didn't have internet or anything like that. So if we were being bullied by someone at school, for example, when we left school at the end of day, we could basically avoid that person without any issues. But nowadays, you're accessible 24/7 because people can get a hold of you via your phone if they have it, your email if they have it. You've got WhatsApp, you've got DMs, PMs, social media, games consoles, Snapchat. There's all these different things that make you easily accessible. And on the note of Snapchat, please make sure that your location and your child's location, anybody that's got Snapchat that you know, make sure their location's turned off to ensure that no one knows where you are that doesn't need to know where you are. We'll just say it like that. We were talking about schools are going back shortly. If your child has been happy, I mean, if they're teenagers, they maybe not be as happy, but they will be, seeing as there was no school. But if your child's mood changes drastically, either the night before or the morning of school going back, you maybe want to keep an eye on that. That could be a sign. I mean, it could just be a sign they don't like school, which most of us don't. I didn't particularly like school. I didn't particularly have a great experience at school, to be fair, but I didn't particularly like it, and the minute I could leave, I left, which maybe wasn't the best idea. Being the age I'm at now, and I'm still not telling you my age, but that was what was best for me at the time. Probably mentally it was best for me at the time, emotionally it was best for me at the time. Long term, it probably wasn't, but it's all worked out in the end now. So yeah, if moods change, they start getting a bit angry, they start getting a bit upset, they're constantly saying, I don't feel well, but only really saying it in the morning, but they were fine the night before to go out with their friends, there's maybe something there, and it could be they're being bullied, it might not be. It could be there's an issue with a class. Speak to the child, speak to the school, find out the information, but keep an eye on it, and just obviously let your child know that you are there to protect them and that they can trust you with anything and you won't betray their trust, and just kind of work from there. If you do feel as if you need someone to talk to about it or some advice, you can message myself and I can give you some advice. Obviously, I do counselling and coaching, and I do counsel all ages, so children, teenagers, adults, couples, families, everything. So I do have experience, and I will help you as much as possible. So the UK government, their Online Safety Act aims to protect children from online bullying and other harmful content by requiring companies to take action. Companies that don't comply could face fines of up to 10% of their global annual revenue. This is actually quite interesting, especially because there is a lot of trolling online, and a lot of it is done through social media. We obviously know that most children have the usual Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. Can't even think of some of the others. I probably don't know them because I'm a dinosaur. I don't know that they have Facebook as much now, because apparently, according to my son, what is it? Basically, it's for the old people, which is me. I can't even remember the word they used. But yeah, I don't think they use Facebook as much. But so, it is interesting. I have witnessed a lot of negative comments, abusive comments, doxing. Not so much doxing, but I have seen it being done on at least one platform. So it would be interesting to see how the government kind of follow through with that. How do they get these numbers? How do they find out the information? And how do they know the information they're getting is correct? And how many companies have actually had to pay any kind of fine? Because I'm sure none of them are perfect, which it may be teething problems, but we can't have teething problems when it comes to people's mental health. And when you're seeing that there's adults, children, teenagers, all different ages are taking their own life due to online bullying or bullying of any kind, that can't happen. That's not on. So I would, yeah, love to speak to somebody, but I'm sure nobody will speak to me about this, but I can try. And if you speak to my mother, she'll tell you I'm like a dog with a bone when I get something in between my teeth. I did email one of my local MPs about 4 or 5 months ago maybe, regarding trolling on social media in one particular app, because when I tried to contact them and I looked up contact details, there weren't any. Surprise, surprise. Which I think is disgraceful. If you try and report anything of that kind on their platforms, the majority of the time they do come back and say, oh, there's no violations or whatever words they use. Although there are times where they do. So I had an experience with, we'll call him a gentleman to be kind. He kept messaging me. Now, we weren't friends online or offline. Didn't know him from Adam. Don't even know if it was a real person, real page, real profile, whatever you call it. He wasn't following me, I wasn't following him, and he was bombarding me with messages, and he wanted to be my sugar daddy and blah blah blah, and sorry, I don't want a sugar daddy. I'm fine as I am. I'm an independent female, apparently. So yeah, I was getting bombarded with messages, and they were literally like every half hour, every hour, whatever, and it was like, why aren't you answering me type thing. I got to a point where he was just sending question marks. Now, if you're not familiar with any of these apps, these social media apps, usually if you're not friends with the person on that app, or none of you are following each other, etc., you're not following them. If they message you, it'll go into what's called a request message folder box thing, whatever. Can you tell I'm old? So this was going into my request, and you've got to accept it for them to see that you've been reading it. But I wasn't accepting any of these messages. I wasn't replying back to them, nothing. But he was still bombarding me with the messages. So I did report it in the end, because it was just, I just thought, this is pathetic now. And the page, it did get blocked from my page, and the messages were removed, and I don't know if he was removed from the profile or not. But yeah, they did actually do something about it, which, give them their due, they done that. But there is a lot of times where maybe not enough's done. So I was looking, like I said, for information to contact a particular social media app, and there was nothing. So then I wrote to my MP and explained to them that I wanted something done about the whole trolling situation, especially obviously in the UK, but worldwide. We don't want it to happen to anybody. I explained to them that I had been looking for details online, but I couldn't find any to contact them, because I do have a few clients that have come to me due to online trolling. I also have a few friends that I've made on these apps, and they're being trolled. So it is quite a big thing. And so I said to them, I want something done about it. Can you get me details, or can you get me a way to speak to these people? I'd love to speak to them on and explain to them about the whole mental health side of it, and also asked if I could sit down with somebody from their office, from my MP's office, to see if we could do something to combat it, because I do have an idea in mind. I'll tell you that in a second. But I got a message back saying, oh yeah, we can contact them. Do you want us to contact them on your behalf? Which, yeah, obviously, that's a start, and that's the very least that we can do. But my theory is, and this is, I'm going to look into how we can kind of put it, I'm not looking for anybody to be imprisoned due to trolling. I'm not looking for anything like that, but there does need to be consequences. You can't get away with infecting somebody's life so much where they potentially can't leave their house, they can't go to work, their mental health's in the gutter, they maybe take their own life, children are left without parents, parents are left without children, and we can't allow that to keep going on. So my theory is that we should, do you know, if you have a sex offender, paedophile, rapist, etc., and they are prosecuted, found guilty, they will then be put onto a sex offenders register, which, yes, and some will be put on it for a lifetime, some will be put on it for X amount of years. I think we should have something similar for trolling and stalking, anything like that. So a book where your name, your details are on there, the reason why you're on, what you've done, how many times you've done it, whatever, so that future employers can see that information. Because I think your employer needs to know, if your employer was to look up your criminal history, and if you have a criminal record, they would see that. So why shouldn't we see who is trolling, bullying, stalking, harassing, whatever you want to call it? So yeah, I am all for getting a register for trolls and bullies. Let me know what you think about that. You might agree, you might not, and that's absolutely fine. We all have our own opinions, we all have our own minds, and we all have our own views. And if we didn't, life would be boring. So talking about doxing earlier, when we explained what it was, and then I looked up some information about it. So doxing in the UK is not illegal, which isn't giving you permission to do it. I'm just putting that out there. But it can lead to consequences if the perpetrator's actions are malicious, and they can result in harassment. So doxing can be a form of online harassment that has dangerous consequences and can be directed at both private citizens and public figures, which basically means famous people are normal people like us. Little people. Although I feel as if I'm not so little these days. I think I'm expanding. And I don't mean in the public eye, I mean bodily. But depending on the circumstances, doxing could be considered an offence under several UK laws, including harassment. So the Protection from Harassment Act 1997.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Makes it illegal to engage in conduct that harasses another person. Then you have malicious communications. So the Malicious Communications Act 1988 criminalises sending electronic communications that are indecent, offensive or threatening with the intent of causing distress or anxiety to the recipient. Then we have computer misuse. Doxing could be considered a computer misuse offence. And obviously we've got data protection. So doxing could violate the Data Protection Act 2018, which makes it illegal to obtain or disclose personal data without consent. And lastly, we've got blackmail and assault. Doxing could also include blackmail or assault if the consequences cause psychological harm. Although doxing isn't classed as illegal in the UK, there is ways that the perpetrator can be reprimanded, which I suppose is a positive, but we really, I think sometimes laws need to be updated and they aren't always updated quick enough. What about in the workplace? So we've spoke about obviously children, they can be bullied at school, and we obviously need to be mindful of that now that the schools are going back, because they've had 6, 7, whatever, 8 weeks off and a bit of a breather from it, hopefully. But when they go back, it may be a different situation. They may have been bullied previous term, and maybe not this term, but we don't want any children to be bullied. But you've also got adults that are bullied, and it could be in the workplace, it could be at college, it could be at university, anywhere. What is it that stops us from speaking out about being bullied? So one, it could be, obviously you are an adult now and you think that you should be able to stick up for yourself. You could feel a bit of humiliation. Maybe you don't want any repercussions. There's many, many reasons why you wouldn't. You maybe think that nobody's going to believe you. But please, if anything untoward is going on in your life, speak to somebody, because we don't want it to affect your day-to-day. We don't want it to affect your mental health. And we want everybody, we want you to be happy and healthy. If that person is bullying someone, whether it be you or someone else, why should they get away with it? Why should we just allow it to happen? And why should we let them make you feel the way you do? You're entitled to be happy. You're entitled to go on with your life without any harassment. And if you think your boss isn't going to speak to you, if you're in a union, speak to your union rep. If you're not, then you could get somebody to go in with you. You're allowed to take in a representative, or even if you just want someone to go in as your voice, as a witness, do that. It doesn't belittle you. You shouldn't feel belittled if you need a bit of support and help, especially if somebody's got to you a point where you are not strong enough to speak on your behalf. And if any of you want me to come in and help, I'll do it. My mum will agree. Sometimes my mum wishes I would just keep my mouth zipped, but she's going to be very disappointed. And I don't mean that in an aggressive way. I just like to be there for people, and I like to be able to support others. And yeah, I'm here to help. But if you get me at the right time of the month, I might be a wee bit aggressive, and I apologise for that in advance. So that's kind of information that I found online. Now, I do have a lot more information, but I don't want to bore you with everything at the one time, hence why I'm going to do it over a few weeks. Sometimes if you take in too much information, if you give out too much information, it isn't always, we're listening to too much at the one time, so we don't always take it in. And also I've got a couple of people who are going to come on and talk about online, I think I said that earlier on, online trolling in social media. They've experienced it themselves. And it's not just females it happens to when we talk about adults, males as well. And it doesn't mean that the male's, in inverted commas, soft. It just means you've maybe got them at the wrong time. It just means they've maybe got a lot going on in their life, and that just, you've just tipped them over the edge where they can't defend themselves anymore. One of the other things that I'm researching, but I don't have all the facts at the minute, so I'm not going to give out fake information, as Donald Trump would say. What is it Donald Trump would say? Fake news. I'm not giving out fake news. But obviously harassment and stalking, they can go hand in hand. So it can start off as someone's harassing you, or someone's constantly badgering you. Does everybody say that, or is that just something that we say in the UK or in Scotland? So basically, if somebody's badgering you, it means that they're constantly on at you, they're constantly nitpicking at you. they just never leave you alone, which I suppose is harassment. But at what point does it then cross over to stalking? So that's something that I'm quite interested in finding out the information on and statistics. So what's more concerning? Well, that's not even the right word. What is there more proof of? Is there more proof of, or more convictions maybe even? Would it be kind of the trolling side of it? Or would it be physical stalking? I don't know. I'm not sure if that would have changed now that we've got online, we've got internet. So it would be interesting to see back from 30, 40 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, how physical stalking, whether that's changed now that you've got online, or has it stayed the same? Has it got worse? So that's something that I'm going to look into. Also, sexual harassment. Now, again, doesn't just happen to females. It can happen to males. And don't think you're being belittled or anything like that if you're being sexually harassed. And I know I've probably done it before as well. We can all laugh and joke sometimes, make a joke about sexual harassment, not when it's happening, but maybe when you've been a bit single for a while, and you might make the joke about how you wish somebody would sexually harass you, or how a police officer would strip search you, things like that. And not saying that I've said that, but I might have. But we can all make jokes about things. It's just as long as you're not making a joke in front of somebody that it's happened to, I suppose. So sexual harassment, again, it's not quite assault. Does it ever end up assault? Don't know. Again, it'd be interesting to look into these facts. But sexual harassment within the workplace is probably more common than what we think. So sexual harassment is unlawful as a form of discrimination under the Equality Act 2010. The Act says it's sexual harassment if the unwanted behaviour violates your dignity, creates an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating or offensive environment. This includes the digital environment, so online. Some examples of sexual harassment would include sexual comments, jokes or gestures, which I've just made, but I didn't make it towards anybody, so my bad, sorry. Staring or leering at your body, using names like the S word that ends in a T, I don't really want to say these words, and the W word that ends in an E, unwanted sexual communications like emails, texts and DMs, sharing sexual photos or videos. So we do know that, yeah, some people might enjoy receiving or sending sexual photos, and that's entirely your decision. That's up to you, but both parties need to want this to happen and not just one party. So you can't send a sexually explicit photo to someone without them agreeing to you sending it. Groping or touching. And again, that can be towards a female or a male. And it doesn't matter whether it's a female doing it to you or a male doing it to you. It would still be the same. Someone exposing themselves, pressuring you to do sexual things or offering you something in exchange for sex. Some of these are also forms of sexual or indecent assault. This is information that I found on the government website. Again, I will be looking more into that to get more statistics, more up-to-date information. Like I said, this is a whole minefield and it's so much bigger than what we think. If we don't see something with our own eyes or our own ears, we don't think about it. And that's not a bad thing. That's not to say that you must be thinking about what's happening to people 24/7. Not at all. But especially looking out for your loved ones, your family, your friends, your children, your colleagues, especially ones that you're close to, or somebody that you would know there's a difference in their appearance, or there's a difference in how they're behaving. It may be that they've got something on their mind, not to say it's been anything that we spoke about today, but it's just nice to check in with people, make sure they're all right and let them know that you're a safe space that they can talk to. If you do need to speak to somebody at work, obviously your HR department's the first place that you would go to, or your team leader, or somebody that you feel confident enough to speak to, and confidence. Your other option is, obviously, if you don't want to speak to somebody in work, then you can speak to your GP. You can phone charities. There's various charities online that you can search online and get their phone numbers. There's counselling and things, and obviously, as I've said before, I am a private counsellor and coach. I do work with individuals, I do work with groups, I do work with businesses. So I can help if you wish, if anybody would like to book in with myself, or even just ask me some information. If you want to even just ask a question for me to point you in the right direction to go somewhere that doesn't cost any money. Honestly, my messages are opened on all my platforms. Message me, email me, and I will help you as much as I can. I do understand not everybody can afford to go private, so I do not take offence when you ask for a number for a charity, etc. But yeah, if you do, I don't have long waiting lists, and I can counsel in various ways. We can do face to face, we can do over the telephone, and we can do video calls. There's room for everybody, and it's not just people in Scotland, all over the UK, all over Europe, anywhere that's got internet, I can help you. So let's try and do a wee bit more upbeat now. Obviously, I'm going to continue this next week. I'm not sure, we might have somebody on next week because some situations have just changed. I might not, it might still be 2 weeks' time, but keep an eye out and maybe post something to let you know, or it might just be left as a surprise when you listen in next week. But thinking about schools, have you started the school uniform shopping yet? Hands up if you've not. That's me. Hands up if you've got less than a week until your kids go back and you've not. My hands up. My son refuses. Although, luckily, last year I bought too much. Who even does that? I bought 2 or 3 different sizes last year. So I was very organised. I was a year ahead of being organised. That's what I'm taking from that. So we had most of the uniform and likes of blazers and things. He says it still fits him. Fine by me, save me some money. Shoes. Can I get the boy to go shoe shopping? No. Why are boys so... what's the word I'm looking for? Lazy. No. Boys, they would just wear anything. Especially at a certain age. He's not quite got to the age yet, or the stage yet, where he's concentrating on everything he's wearing, everything he's doing. We're not quite there yet. So he said, why do I need new shoes? Which is a fair point, but he's had these shoes since, obviously, he went back last summer. And we always buy dads, guardians, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, whatever, whoever you're buying for. We always like to buy everything fresh for them going back, don't we? And I think that stems from when we were young and our parents done the same for us. I mean, it is a valid point. Why do we? Because in everyday life, we wouldn't necessarily change shoes just because. But yeah, he said he doesn't understand why we're buying new shoes when he's got a pair of shoes there. So I said that we buy shoes every year. Then we had an argument because he said, no, you asked me to go shoe shopping every 3 to 4 months. It's a lie. But I said, no, I don't. It's every year. I'm just really in this argument to you, if you noticed. So then I tried the whole, but maybe they don't fit you, or what if they've got holes in them? And he said, well, they do fit me. And then we argued about that because I said, how do you know? You've not worn them for 2 months. You've been off school. Then I said, what if they've got holes in them? He says, well, have they got holes in them? And I didn't have an answer for that because I've not checked them yet. So now he's saying that he's wearing the same shoes next year. This year, summer, next week, whenever. I'm lost. I'm confused. My blown brain can't take it. So we're either wearing the same shoes, polished up, spit and polish, as my dad would say, who was in the army, or we're going shoe shopping in the next, how many days? 4, 5? That's roughly how many days I've got to go shoe shopping, and then I think we're back after that. Oh, dearie me. I don't want to parent anymore. No, I do want to parent, that's a lie. I don't want to adult anymore. I'm over it. Past it. Past my sell-by date. I give up. I'm running away. And I'm going to live a carefree life. Some people might say that I already do that. Both run away and live a carefree life. I don't run away from my kids, but I run away from everybody else. Which, that could be an episode for another day. Aliens fails in life. That will take up at least 6 episodes. Aliens disastrous adulting. This could actually become a theme. Anyway, so I am going to leave at that for this week. I'm going to go back to researching, back to work, back to researching, back to fighting with the children. But if you do, one, have a story that you would like to share, feel free to message or email and we'll get you on. And it doesn't even have to be about what we're talking about today. If you've got your own story you want to tell, write in, we'll sort it. Or two, if you want me to tell a story, then contact myself again. And also, if you would like information on my therapies, so the counselling, the coaching, life coaching, wellness coaching, business coaching, etc., etc., contact myself and I'll give you all the details that will point you in the right direction. One other thing, I do also offer hoppy ear candling, hot stone massage, cupping massage, and Indian head massage. And I've got a few new things coming soon. I'm busy, busy, busy. But yeah, if you have anything you want to talk about, anything, if you would like advice, if you would like me to tell a story, if you would like to book in, anything at all, give us a message, give us an email, and I'll get back to you. So I'm off to chill out before I have to start fighting about school uniforms again. So enjoy your week. Take care of the kiddos and keep an eye out for any changes, not just in the children but also in any adults that you might know. Reach out to them, make sure they're okay. If they do need a friendly ear, be that ear if you can. If you can't, advise them to go and seek advice or help. Okay, speak soon, bye.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.